Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, September 15th, 2017. With me today, I have Jeff Butts. How's it going, Jeff?
It's going great, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. And Dave Hamilton, I hope you're well, and I'm glad you're here.
I am well, and I'm glad I'm here. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have both of you on the show. And I know everyone hears me say that every day, whoever's on, but it's true. It's really great to have you guys on the show. And it's also great that iMazing is our sponsor. I'm using iMazing every day. You guys should be using it too because, hey, you have important iOS 11 stuff you need to back up. We'll talk about them soon. But we might as well just jump right in to the news. And so the first thing is that pre-orders for iPhone 8 and 8 Plus, Apple Watch Series 3, and Apple TV 4K started this morning. And we're already seeing shipping delays on the devices. Like, I noticed this morning at around 6-ish Mountain Time. I do the math for everyone, but I'm afraid I'll mess it up today. Anyway, that on T-Mobile and Sprint, iPhones were showing a week or two back order. Verizon and AT&T, they were still shipping for the 22nd. Yeah, Apple Watch Series 3 showing for the cellular models a 2 to 3 week delay in shipping, and on the non-cellular models, most of those were fairly easy to get a hold of still, but some of those are starting to slip. So anyhow, it seems like there's some interest in the new products. And we, none of us are getting an iPhone 8. We're holding out for 10s.
Well,
so, except for you, because you're not
I'm
sure.
I'm torn.
Still torn. So you haven't made you have chosen not yet to decide. I was going to say you haven't made a choice, but that's quite different.
But that's still a decision.
Started. It is. Yes.
Yeah. Just because you have not made a choice. Oh, I can't remember how the lyric goes.
It's if you choose not to decide.
If you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. Yes.
Right. Love that song. This is why I love you guys.
Yeah. So now that we've decided that we all believe in the concept of free will, what is your reason there, Jeff?
Well, my original thought was, see, I have a 128 gigabyte iPhone 7 Plus.
Okay.
Apple's not doing 128 gigabytes anymore.
No.
64 and 256.
64 and 256.
How much of your 128 are you using on your...
Well, at one point, I had it almost maxed out. But I had every movie in my movie library on my iPhone to play over at my son's house.
So now you wouldn't watch these on your iPhone. You would stream them to like an Apple TV or something. Is that right?
No, I connect from my iPhone direct to the TV using the AV adapter.
Oh, okay. Right, okay. So same concept. Your iPhone is simply the playback.
It's just the conduit.
It's the conduit. Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So, but right now, as of today, you know, I'm using 21.1 gigabytes. So there's no reason why a 64 gigabyte iPhone 10 wouldn't suffice for me.
I feel the same way. I have, I've got 128 gig iPhone 7, not the Plus. And my usage, I mean, you know, usage is a weird thing. I have 44 gigs available, but I use iCloud Photo Library. Right. And I use iCloud Music Library as part of Apple Music.
Yep.
So, you know, those things tend to, you know, grow to the available space, which they should. But I'm not convinced that, you know, ratcheting those back, like, you know, I don't know.
I'm not totally convinced, but I'm looking at use case scenarios.
Yep.
You know, that for that time that I want to take all of my movies over to my son's house.
Yeah.
I've got a 256 gig iPad Pro now. Same capability.
So maybe that's where all the big stuff goes.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I'm thinking.
So now I'm also curious about Apple Watch, because Series 3 is out, and I'm wearing a Series 2 right now.
As am I.
All right. And Dave, what are you wearing?
I actually, in an odd twist, I am wearing no watch today. But when I wear an Apple Watch, it is a Series 0 Apple Watch.
Okay. So you never made the switch from the original model to Series 2 last year?
No. I've been tempted to, only because I'm missing the GPS circuit, right? But, man, I just don't know. There are times when I go out for a bike ride that I would find it slightly more convenient to leave my phone at home.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I mean, I want to put emphasis on the term slightly. Like, I have a way of mounting my phone on my bike if I want, or, you know, a lot of times I'll ride my bike to the post office, so I'm bringing a backpack anyway, or I could put it in my pocket, although that's the least convenient place to have it while I'm riding. So I don't swim with it. I don't do those things where you would sort of naturally really not want a phone with you. And so I just haven't had a desire to do that. And I've heard from people, in fact, one. Right. I was going to say at least one on this call that said the GPS circuit in Series 2 isn't nearly as good as tracking with your phone anyway. So here we are. So, yeah, I don't have a need that I can find for a Series 3 Apple Watch yet. And so I didn't order one, you know.
Well, I went from Series 0 to Series 2 because I really wanted the GPS. And then I've since found that it just doesn't offer the accuracy that I'm looking for. And now that Series 3 is coming, I was actually debating from the time of the keynote up until yesterday whether or not I was going to pre-order one. And then it switched from internal debate about pre-order to, do I want the cellular or not? And ultimately, I ordered a 38mm space gray sport model, no cellular. And it's because I want that altimeter, and I want to see what happens with that longer battery life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I went without LTE because I just don't leave the phone behind.
Right. And it's, that would be at the expense of battery life and the expense of the $10 a month that you'd pay your carrier for that privilege too.
Yeah. And I think that $10 a month, most months, I wouldn't get my $10 out of it.
That's the thing is, right. It's rare that I would have, and I tried to, you know, Apple, here's the thing, right? Apple often provides us with products or even features that we didn't think we needed until we had them. And, you know, the iPad in and of itself is a shining example of that for me. And I think for a lot of us, mm-hmm. you know, when it was rumored, we're like, oh, who needs that thing? And then it was like, all right, yeah, pry it from my cold, dead fingers. So I try to be hyper aware of that. I mean, I have my gut reactions like we all do. And then I try to remind myself, okay, hey, wait, like really visualize what it's going to be like to have this in like best case scenario, because that might be what Apple delivers to you. They don't always fulfill their, you know, their promise of best case, or their goal. I don't want to say their promise, their goal of best case scenario, but they do it often enough that it's worth at least visualizing. Right. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And with this, I just can't see where that benefit means something to me, but you know, I don't see that as a negative. As I'm saying it, I see it as a positive, because anyone walking into the Apple Watch product line isn't hearing about people that got burned by buying a watch last year, right? I mean, there are some people that are going to say, oh man, if only I'd known LTE was coming, I definitely would have waited, right? I mean, it's going to happen, but by and large, like all the new features and the heart rate monitoring and like all of the, a lot of that stuff. I don't want to say all the new features because obviously LTE and an altimeter require hardware, as does GPS. But the hardware changes have been incremental, right?
Yes.
And evolutionary, and certainly not revolutionary yet. There will come a time where Apple sort of has to ditch the form factor, or you know, not maybe not ditch it, but modify it in such a way that it's different now, or that the feature set is so different that iOS, you know, effectively becomes, or not, sorry, not iOS, watchOS becomes forked in a way that you know, they can't roll out a feature like enhanced heart rate monitoring and have it roll all the way back to across the entire product line's evolution. But at the moment, that's not the case. And I see that as a positive. Like somebody buying a watch today feels like, oh, yeah, like people that have these like them. And I think it's a testament to the product line that there are at least two of us, John Martellaro and myself here on the TMO staff, that have Series 0 watches that are like, yeah, still good by me. Like, I don't feel left out.
Yeah. Gotcha. My Series 0 went to my mom.
Yep.
And it's more than she could have ever hoped for. And that's great. And now I'll either sell or give away my Series 2. And I'll have Series 3. But with the features that are in Series 3, Apple's going to have to do something really dramatic with Series 4 to get me to buy that model.
You know what I want to see Apple do with the Apple Watch? Fix the Stand app.
I am
so tired of it telling me to stand after I've already been standing up. Or you know, telling me, congratulations, you've just stood for another hour, when I'm sitting in my chair with my hands behind my head.
Yeah. They need to address that. Part of it they can address by changing the wording, because it shouldn't say you need to stand. It should say it's time for you to be more active.
Maybe. Because, but I don't see how putting my hands behind my head is being more active.
Well, that's only part of the fix. The other part is making it more accurate for detecting what counts as real motion as opposed to you just moving your arms around. As an example, I can sit at my desk and write articles and not get my butt out of the chair for 3 hours. And when I look at my watch, it's been counting steps.
Same here.
And that just sucks because,
yeah,
you know, that's something that you would think by this point in the game, they'd be able to address better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe the barometric altimeter will help with the stand issue. We don't know yet. They haven't said.
Yeah, it depends on how
using it.
Well, yeah, like how obsessive they are at reading from it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, well, we'll know soon because my watch is showing up on the 22nd.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. We have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is iMazing.
Love it.
Yeah, I love it, and I love their timing for being our sponsor. They couldn't have picked a better week, because this is the week that we found out when iOS 11 ships, so that's September 19th, available to everyone. And so if you are planning on making the upgrade to iOS 11 on your devices, iMazing is already good to go for you, and you should get it now as opposed to after iOS 11 comes out, because iMazing lets you back up your iPhone, your iPad, your iPod Touch to your Mac or your Windows PC. And it does it better than iTunes, and especially better than iTunes 12.7, because it actually backs up everything. And I mean everything, including the apps that you have downloaded, which iTunes 12.7 that came out this week doesn't do.
No longer does.
Yeah. And then if you need to restore anything from your phone, instead of having to do an all or nothing thing like iTunes makes you do, you can go in and pick out just the things that you want to restore. So it's this wonderful tool, and I just can't imagine having my iPhone and my iPads and not having iMazing on my computer. So I've been using iMazing as I work through all of the developer betas, so that if something goes wrong, I wouldn't be screwed. And now that the Gold Master is out, I feel like I've already made the transition everyone else is doing next week. And iMazing has made it so that I could get through all of this with peace of mind because I know everything that I need is backed up. It's there. I can check it and I can restore what I want when I want. It's a beautiful thing. And what's even more beautiful is that all of you can get it for a discount. So head over to the iMazing website. It's iMazing.com/TDO. iMazing.com/TDO. Go to that link and then you can download iMazing for Mac or Windows and get a 20% discount. And even better, that 20% discount applies to a single user license or to the group licenses. So if you and the rest of your family all want to have your own copy of iMazing, 20% discounts for everyone. It's like a special treat just for you because you listen to the show. So head over to their website, iMazing.com/TDO. Get your copy of iMazing. And thank you, iMazing, for being our sponsor. All right. So, Jeff, I love talking with you about your Hackintosh experiences.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's, you know, it's like this happy fun thing. And other times it's you telling everyone how you're working through the pain so that they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of in a pain day.
We are. And it's not just for Hackintosh people. If you're running the High Sierra beta and you want to update to the Grandmaster, the Gold Master candidate, It's not like all through the beta cycle. You know, with the whole beta cycle, we've been able to go into software update or Mac App Store, go to updates, and the new beta was right there. Well, with the Gold Master candidate, Apple has changed the game. You now have to go back and download the beta software tool again, run it. Oh, and first you have to make sure you delete the installer from your hard drive, because otherwise it won't show up.
Really? Now, that was not my experience. I mean, everything up till that point.
Are you sure?
Well, I still have. So in my.
Does it say download?
I went through the process. I went to the App Store and in the update section, it showed the Mac OS High Sierra developer beta, but it wasn't in the, it was in the installed section, not in the update section. Like there was right. No update showing. So yeah. It's like, okay, I need to get on a different track. So I went to the developer site. I downloaded what they call the macOS developer beta access utility. And that's just a short little download. It's I think it's, you know, less than 200K.
Yeah. And it's small.
Yeah, it's. I think it just installs a profile or it flips a switch or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I was brought to the Mac App Store to a page that said, hang on, let me find it here so I can get it right. Mac OS High Sierra Beta is what it's called. And that was 4.9 gigs for me. And I hit the download button and it downloaded. And now in my applications folder on my Mac, I have this new thing called Install Mac OS High Sierra Beta.
Right.
Even though it's the GM candidate, it's still considered beta.
And that's what I'm talking about. But you have to delete first.
But I also have Install Mac OS 10.13 Beta from June 7th that I installed while at WWDC. So both of those installers are there. Now, the one from June is only 7.8 megs because it does the same thing. It just adds a, I don't know, it did whatever. No, that's the one that downloads during the process, I guess.
The App Store might be matching file names.
Okay.
To determine whether you can download it or open it.
Interesting. So you previously had a file called Install Mac OS High Sierra Beta, not 10.13 beta. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
I guess that's the timing of when we each installed these things. Yep.
Right. Because I downloaded this as of beta 9.
Okay. Okay.
And this never
That's different. Yeah, right.
Interesting.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what you guys have experienced, I haven't had time to install High Sierra GM on my test Mac yet. Okay. So I haven't experienced any of this, and I'm glad that you guys have so that I know what to expect. And as I'm listening to what you're dealing with, my first thought was, holy crap, this is a lot for people to deal with.
It's but developers.
Was followed by, well, this is developers, so it's not that big of a deal. This is not what the public's going to have to deal with when High Sierra officially rolls out on the 25th.
Correct.
Unless they're running a Hackintosh.
Well, that's also not the public, to be fair.
Yeah. No, to be fair, it's not. But four times I had to run the installer.
Well, they wanted to make sure you really meant to install.
I guess so.
When you folks go to install this, unless you're on a beta track or whatever, and then, you know, your mileage will vary, it will just show up in the app store update and you'll be able to do it. And there you go. And I have to say, you know, my experience with the beta has been, there have been some problems, and I'm not going to obsess over those because
beta,
to be expected. Correct. But in terms of the positive stuff, I have found I use, and this really happens because I'm traveling at WWDC when the beta comes out, and I use a 2011 MacBook Air. This is an old machine by today's standards, and it's been a couple of years since this computer has felt fast. In fact, I was basically to the point where, and I only use it occasionally, so it's not like I need to have it running all the time, and it's been a couple of years since this machine has felt like it wasn't completely overwhelmed by the OS. You know, MD Worker, which is the Spotlight thing, was always taking up stuff. Address Book Sync, which is actually part of Calendar, and Calendar Sync, which is actually part of Address Book, were, you know, constantly taking up 100% of my CPU. And you know, it's only got 4 gigs of RAM, which again, by today's standards, is not much. And as soon as I put, I was to the point where I was going to replace it. As soon as I put even the first High Sierra beta on here, I mean, it takes a day for things to settle in. That's normal. Mm-hmm. After that, my CPU usage wasn't pegged all the time. Those processes were still running, the MD Worker and you know, the various syncing things, but they weren't chewing up 100% of my CPU when they ran. It seems like somebody bothered to look and say, hey, we don't need to overwhelm these machines. Let's limit how these processes run when they're in the background. And
yeah, and let's optimize.
Let's optimize a little bit. Let's be aware of what machines we're actually going to let this thing run on, and let it actually run on them. Even though, okay, so it might take longer for my Spotlight indexing to happen. Well, I can actually use my computer while I'm doing that.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it's better. And it has made this machine outstanding. And I will say, about a month and a half before WWDC, I did a clean install of Sierra, the release version, on this machine in hopes that it would solve those problems. So it wasn't like I was sitting with, you know, 4 years of cruft on this or whatever. I didn't restore from a, you know, migration assistant or time machine or anything. I just went straight back in and installed everything fresh, and it was still just a disaster. So if from that standpoint, yeah, High Sierra has been consistently for months now running much smoother for me on an older Mac than Sierra prior.
Dave, you and I have the same vintage MacBook Air.
Right, right.
And the difference is I have the 13-inch screen, you have the 11-inch. But my experience matches yours.
Oh, that's good to hear. Okay, so it's not just a fluke for me. Yeah.
No, my mid-2010 Mac Mini got not dramatically faster because I've upgraded it, but it did get incrementally faster with the High Sierra beta.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what this does on my Touch Bar MacBook Pro. And the only reason I haven't installed the GM here is because I hadn't been running beta. It's my production machine, and now I just haven't had time. But I bet it's going to be pretty awesome on a Touch Bar computer. So, all right. Well, so now we know. If you are running developer betas, expect to have to jump through a couple hoops to get the Gold Master on your computer. If you're doing a Hackintosh, expect the same. And for everyone else, it will be a little more than a couple mouse clicks to get High Sierra on your computer. All right. Hey, we're out of time. We need to wrap up. Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. This was a good one.
Yeah, loads of fun. And Jeff, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And iMazing, thank you for being our sponsor today and all week. Head over to their website, iMazing.com/TDO. Download your copy of iMazing for Mac or Windows and get a 20% discount. And make sure you have all the backups that you need heading into iOS 11. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We will see everyone again on Monday.